How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, welcome to it. It is 7-Eleven here on a midweek Wednesday morning, first day of December. National Christmas Lights Day? Now, I had my sort of unwritten rule. I like to say that you could put your lights up in November, but you couldn't turn them on until December 1st. I didn't know that they actually made a, like, there is an actual day to celebrate. I like to think that I started it.
They listen to you.
Nobody in my neighborhood has been listening, by the way, because the Christmas lights are on full blast in my neighborhood for at least the last week, if not longer. Mm-hmm. And it has looked nice. I will give you that. Yeah. I will cede you that. Yeah. But for everybody else, today is December the 1st, so plug those bad boys in. Let's light up the city. Make sure we can see it from the Hubble the space station.
Absolutely. Or the Russian, whatever you end up having with all those bombs or parts sprinkling around the atmosphere. But nope, I was driving around last night, Jer, lots of lights out. Really love it.
What are the Russians doing?
Well, remember a couple
weeks.
Where
they tried to blast a meteor?
Yeah, not a meteor. They're just trying to blast another.
Oh, satellite.
Yeah, satellite.
Yes. And
now,
then,
now
and
you got all the debris.
Yes.
So typical Russian. It's harming or threatening the Russian space station.
Way to go. Yeah. Way to go, Putin.
Yeah.
All right. An hour from now, Dave Poulin will stop by. He's our TSN Hockey Insider. We'll look forward to chatting with Dave. We will. Have a bunch of winning for you. We've got a $100 gift certificate to the Holt Spa to give away because we are now 24 days away from Christmas Day. So we'll take care of a little shopping for somebody. So we'll give that away between now and 10 o'clock. We'll, of course, have our TSN $1,200,000 minute just before 8 o'clock. I mean, we got to be due here at some point, don't we? Somebody's got to win that $1,000. Yeah, and we'll play another spellbinding edition, and Simmer's back. He missed a couple of editions last week of Sens were off the week before you left for holiday, Simmer. So for you, it's been a full 3 weeks between episodes. So we'll do that, and up for grabs there, a pair of 100-level seats to see the Sens and the Avalanche. That's a nice game. That's a sweet prize for Saturday night at Canadian Tire Center. That'll be up for grabs. We'll play Sens and Sensibility later on this morning as well. All right. Let's get to a bunch of stuff. All right. Let's get to Sens and Canucks coming up tonight, of course. But a few people be keeping their eye on what's going to be going on potentially down in beautiful Utica, New York. How many visits in your scouting career, Simmer, did you make to a Utica?
You know what? Not many, Jer.
Oh, okay.
Because here is...
To avoid that one?
No, here's the... By
Schenectady?
You know what? Here's... When I first played in the American Hockey League in Baltimore, Utica was New Jersey's farm team. So first of all, memories of Utica was, I would assume that it was bombed out during World War II, never to be rebuilt.
Correct.
Which is what it looked like near the rink. We also stayed at a Howard Johnson.
The
only place on the loop that we stayed at a motel, and that feeling of, first of all, the sheets have been overly washed, right? So you're getting a rash from that.
Yep.
And the old...
Any blood stains?
The old snow, a couple of tape marks on the floor, but no big deal. But the only other place where the snow is up against your door, right? It was not a warm and fuzzy place. So that, from there, I know by the time I started scouting, they moved out of there, and they went to Albany. So they sat dormant.
Another
for
really
a long,
nice place.
Well, it's more, yeah, exactly. Well, in upstate New York, let's go Bingo, Rochester, Syracuse, Utica, Albany. You got the whole trifecta covered.
Murderers row murderers.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, if you've been let out of prison in New York City, you tend to settle in some of these fine areas.
Oh, we had those two jokers that
broke out of jail.
Yeah, broke out. I remember that. Yeah. What a story that ended up being. For what? How long were they on the loose for? A month?
Upper
New York State?
Well, I don't think it was a month, guys.
They weren't far for the one guy got caught near Malone.
Exactly.
He wanted to get on. It's a very nice 36 holes at Malone.
He was working.
Right?
He was working the river, right? Wow. It was just like The Fugitive.
Yeah.
Hey, didn't it remind you that?
They got the one guy. They nailed the one guy, but the other guy made it almost to the Canadian. Yeah. He was going for Canada, baby, and he almost made it.
And he was trading sex for secrets, right?
Yeah, wasn't it a bit of an inside job?
There was a
It did hammer. She was having the woman was having an affair. But what was crazy is that after doing this for years, it felt like she went home and told on them right away, right? Or she didn't. She didn't come with the getaway car, right?
Correct. She didn't show up. That's why they were on the lam. Literally.
That's they were like, man, where's our ride? That that would be like, think about that. Like, we don't even have a Shawshank Redemption.
No. We spent months and months and months tunneling out and figuring out how we were going to get out of this maximum security prison. We make the move, we crawl through sewers. Pop up, because there was an HBO series. It was actually pretty well done. Yeah. We pop up the sewer grate in the middle of the night in this small town in Upper New York State, thinking, okay, all we need now is the getaway car, and we are. Yeah. And she didn't show up, and they had to take it on the lam.
Yeah. You start cruising around in those orange jumpsuits. Very difficult to blend in. In a small town.
A lot of construction workers up there as well. Anyway, we're kind of off. We started with Utica. But that is where, at 7:17 this morning, that is where Matt Murray is finding himself this morning. Took the four-hour bus ride yesterday from Belleville to Utica. And so, well, won't say half an eye, but a quarter of an eye will be on the starting lineup tonight for the Belleville Senators as they play down in Utica. Because... Matt Murray, the decision, it sounds like, is going to be up to him at the end of the day of whether he is going to play in the game tonight. Troy Mann guested with the boys on In the Box yesterday and talked about his new goalie and how he's going to work with him.
At the end of the day, we've only got one chance at this, in my opinion, to get it right. And I want to make sure, from a head coaching perspective, that we put him in a place to succeed. And, you know, if he's comfortable playing tomorrow night after two practices and a morning skate, then, you know, it'll be his net. But if we think the three of us together decide that it's beneficial to have a couple more skates before Saturday, then that's what we'll do. So, you know, we want to help as much as we can. And at the same time, we want to try and do it right because, like I say, it's a one and done for me in terms of trying to get him back on track.
All right. So just on Matt Murray in Belleville, that question, do you like the way that the coach is approaching it, that he's essentially left it up to the player himself to decide if he's playing or not?
I've left it up to him, JR. Do you remember Randy Burge? Old Stumpy?
Yes.
All right, so Stumpy ended up one season in Boston. They lost in the playoffs. He goes to Peterborough. They end up losing to the Sioux in the playoffs. Gets called up to St. John. What a trifecta, right? That's the farm team at the time for Boston. Drives all day, runs into Terry Crisp. They're splitting with Calgary. Crispy says, listen, take the night off. And Stumpy says, nope, I'm good to go. Like, are you kidding me? And I don't think that Troy Mann's playing any games. If Matt Murray, after two practices and being sent to the American Hockey League, decides that he might not be able to go tonight because he's not comfortable, what are you not comfortable from? Like seriously, JR, come on, man.
Rust.
Well, whatever. That I want the net. I want to get in there. And this is what I go back to. Whatever has happened here isn't just about his play. He missed opening night because he had the flu. He's still practicing. You know what? Like, seriously. And as I said, I don't think he's playing games with him. But the fact that the athlete doesn't say, listen, I want to get in there. I want to get playing. I don't care about... That's how you work your rust off, not sitting on the bench. I had to travel all the way to Utica. And this is only a player, JR, and I know he's had some great success. He's only 5 years removed from playing the American Hockey League, right? He spent two seasons basically playing in Wilkes-Barre. So it's not like this is like a big deal. It was 1,000 years ago. Man, that scares me. And again, I go back to this was a full-on punishment where they were full-on set up. And they've gone into kind of a, you know, a damage control. And now we're going to have a plan. No, they just became fed up. And as I said, I don't necessarily disagree. I don't know behind the scenes. But if this guy doesn't play tonight, honestly, JR, that's just another major, major red flag for me.
All right, to kind of go over that, you know, how this is all, and we're going to hear from Matt Murray here in just a second because he spoke for the first time yesterday down in Belleville before they left on the road trip, to kind of take you through how this season, to review, I guess. And you mentioned start of the season, he sat out the opening weekend, right? They played three games in 4 days. He wasn't feeling well. Whatever ended up being a head cold, sinus infection, was not COVID. We know that.
Yeah.
He ended up not playing at all on that opening weekend. And then he comes back and plays, you know, decently well, ends up getting injured pretty early on, right? He played that Ranger game on the Saturday afternoon, was pitching a shutout, gets hit in the head as the Rangers are scoring a goal to break the shutout. He ends up leaving the game. He's injured for a while, comes back. Then he goes in, he's one of several Senators on the COVID list. He says he did have COVID, not one of those exposed to it, but did have COVID, suffered some effects, didn't sound Said it, he was hit, I'm paraphrasing his words, but it was hit reasonably hard with it to the point where he was pretty much, well, confined to his house, immobile for about a week. You know, did not train at all for a week, was 10 days between on-ice sessions, had one practice, and then got thrown into the game against San Jose in the middle of last week, which is the game in which they lost. There were a couple of goals that were the stoppable shots, quite frankly. You'd want your goalie, they weren't howlers, but you'd want your goalie to save them. The Sens end up losing. And then management and the coaching staff have decided that they have seen enough of Matt Murray. And after the Anaheim game, in which he didn't dress for on Friday, he meets with the coach, and the general manager is in the room, but it's the coach that delivers the message. We're going to waive you tomorrow, and you're going to be sent down to Belleville if you pass through waivers. The next day, as the Sens are playing in L.A., he actually takes a commercial flight home. So he flies home back to Ottawa, and then on Sunday, after he passes through waivers, drives down to Belleville, where he has spent the last couple of days. So that is the timeline exact timeline of how everything worked out. Important to remember that Matt Murray has played a total of 6 games this year. He does not have a win, but he has also suffered through a bout of, again, whatever that sinus thing was, and then being on the COVID list, and the team is playing poorly. He has not won a game. Yeah. He was asked yesterday if he feels like he has been scapegoated for the Sens' poor start to this season.
I also think that's part of what you sign up for as a goalie. I think that comes with the territory. I think, you know, I obviously haven't been good enough to win. Don't think I've been bad, but haven't been good enough to win. That's what it's about at the NHL level. So, like I said, it is what it is.
All right. So, an important distinction. We couldn't. We edited that because we couldn't quite make out. But to the answer to the direct question that was put to him, do you feel scapegoated? He said, I think so. Yeah. So he did say he feels like, you know, he's the guy taking the bullet for the poor start to the team. So what do you make of his comments?
You know, kind of misery loves company, and he'll have company down in Belleville, JR. I don't like the vibe of the fella. Now, he seems like a good person, so I don't want to, again, I keep kind of using Vander Kane. What has happened here, and this is kind of in summation of what you just talked about, JR, you're in the middle of a road trip. Now, the Ottawa Senators flew home on Sunday, did they not?
Correct.
Okay, so you got a $6.525 million goaltender over the next 3 years, going to make $21 million. He's won 2 Stanley Cups. He has come to your organization, had just come off the COVID list and played 1 game. Would you treat a fella like that if you really were pleased with where he's at? And I'm not going back to blame, but I keep going back to what I was saying yesterday. If you don't think that's a punishment, that all of a sudden you send him on a Saturday on a commercial flight, that you're just not absolutely fed up with him for whatever reason, and my reason or thought is you just feel like he's not bringing it on a daily basis, you want him removed from the group. Now they've gone into damage control and they're pretending they got a plan. But, JR, many a player I have been a part of has been waived, and I'm not holding press conferences and conference calls and plans. No, no, you know what? We're fed up with you, and people say he's a $6 million goal. No, you know what? He has not lived up to it. He has not been good enough. Whatever else has swirled around it, they've just said, hey, forget it. Go to Belleville and call us when you're playing well. So all this other hoopla and people, hey, I wouldn't normally treat, but it goes back to the point. This is a, and I don't even want to use a punishment, but they're just saying, man, whatever. We're fed up. Go play in the American Hockey League, and I don't need a bunch of controversy because you haven't lived up to your end of the deal.
You mentioned that you would have had, as an assistant GM for many years in the NHL, lot or been a part of a lot of conversations. How many, though, would have been with guys who, again, had won two Stanley Cups and are making $6 million?
Well,
that is more of a rarity. Well, you would agree?
Big time, JR, and that's what really speaks to that. I'm assuming this was an emotional decision that was made, and was it well thought? And that brings a whole different discussion about how the Ottawa Senators are being managed under Pierre Dorion. But as far as the actual being waived, like I said, when you make that decision, JR, you send a guy on a commercial flight when you're coming home the next day. You don't even want him around. Now you're regrouping, and I don't need Matt Murray feeling sorry for himself. And if he's not ready to play tonight, are you kidding me? Like, so as I said, now it goes to the bigger picture. how in God's name did they give this guy a $25 million contract? And a year and a bit into it, this is where you're at. So this story has a bunch of layers, but I'm not for a minute feeling sorry for Matt Murray.
Is this repairable? It seems like a bit of a, at this point, seems like a bit of a broken relationship between he and the team. They have put and have a lot of money invested in this player, and presumably they're, as I said, the best case scenario when they decided, when they made this decision to send him to the minors, if he got through waivers and nobody claimed him, was that Matt Murray somehow, some way found his game. That's the best case scenario. Yeah. Will that and can that happen? I don't know the answer to that, but that's the best case scenario.
Yeah.
But I'll say, in terms of a relationship between he and DJ Smith, between he and Pierre Dorion, between he and the organization, is that something that that he, and I guess both sides, can get past?
Well, I'll be honest, and I'll say it this time, JR, from the organizational standpoint, it's up to the athlete. I would assume a huge part, and would you agree that Benoit or Pierre Grue got fired last year is because of Matt Murray?
Because of his play, or they weren't getting along?
No, because of his play. Somebody had to pay the price for Matt Murray coming over on a big contract. Now you bring in Zach Burke. They spent time together. He put on 15 pounds. I will admit in the interview, if he put 15 on, I'm not sure where it went. But anyways, Zach Burke has come in. You're giving him lots of attention. It's not working. They have put, at least in their estimation, everything into it. He hasn't lived up to it. So as far as being repairable, the onus is on the athlete right now to go and play well. From what I can see from the outside, Ottawa's handled him with kid gloves. They've done all the stuff. They've tried to coddle him along. Now it's up to the athlete to actually perform. So I'm not, you know, as far as a repairable relationship, I have no idea. But like I said, my feeling is that somebody got fired. They brought in a new goalie coach. It was great to end the year. Spent lots of time together. I mean, Zach Burke is also checking off on this. Would you not agree?
Yes.
Like, Zach Burke is saying, listen, this guy, he ain't going anywhere. Like, I've been around the NHL for a long time, been around goaltenders. This ain't working. Like, this is the whole group here. So, is it repairable? Like I said, the bigger issue is, what the hell's Ottawa going to do if it doesn't work out? And I don't feel like it's going to, JR. You know, I've been around a lot of players, a lot of athletes. Something has gone seriously wrong here with Matt Murray. This is a couple of years in Pittsburgh. Now, is he just not enjoying his time in Ottawa? Well, like I said, I don't know if we'll see that unless he's bought out, that he ends up in another organization, because I still don't think anybody's touching that contract.
No, I don't think so either. I got to go back to, for me, I get certain aspects of all of it, and I get them trying, you know, putting him on waivers because it ain't working right now, and if somebody picks him up, great, we've got rid of his contract. If it doesn't, send him down to the minors, and maybe somehow, some way, he finds his game. To me, the entire interest I have in this story, or the biggest part of the story that sticks out to me, is again, it's the timing of why they decided to do the drastic step they took when they did.
Because they're fed up?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're in the middle. Did that need to happen? And I'm not trying to defend one side or the other. I'm just saying, in terms of just trying to make it work, why not do this when you get back to Ottawa?
Yeah.
I guess is my point. You didn't have to play him in the game Friday or Saturday. I understood that. He was a healthy scratch on Friday.
Yeah.
You didn't have to play him on Saturday.
Nope.
You could have just left him on the trip. He flies home with the team. You sit him down on Sunday. You say, Matt, it ain't working. We're putting you on waivers, and we're going to send you down to Belleville. Like it's almost... To me, it seems like it's you're publicly embarrassing the player.
Yeah.
And do you need to do that?
Yeah, no, it's a great point, JR. Now, is it an emotional knee-jerk reaction? But again, that's a whole different discussion on the organization itself, the pressure points. A few years ago, when from out of the blue, Zach Smith was waived to send a message, this has another layer to it. In this particular case, from what I've seen, would I have probably come home? Yes. But as I said, when I hear the little bites, when I see a guy opening night not playing, when I hear him wondering whether he'll be good to go tonight, it's like, come on, man, are you kidding me? Grab the net. But these are two separate discussions on, hey, there's enough of a pattern here to look at Pierre Dorion and wonder, and I said this yesterday on Twitter, Jared, and I've said it to you, The general manager of an NHL hockey team is a manager of people. He manages the people as they enter the organization. He manages the people, and this is employees, players, families, manages them while they're here. And you also manage the exit. Very important that you're handled properly and handled with class at every turn. And that's something that you certainly have to look at organizationally and ask where the Ottawa Senators are at. But as far as Matt Murray, as I said, Jerry, I don't know. I'm not in the room enough, but I feel enough that I've watched here to also understand where I can see where you got to become brutally frustrated. And for whatever check off, and whether it's the coach and the goalie coach or the manager or the owner, whoever's fed up with him, to make a bold move to send it, it really does show me. And the patterns I'm seeing, I get everything that
you've said, and I agree with everything that you've said. My biggest concern as I observe this team, and I think for fans of this team, is the point you brought up about the general manager being the manager of people and the importance. And, hey, listen, behind the scenes is super important, absolutely. But what gets out in public is also, I think, public perception and public confidence, I think, is also a very important part of all of this. And this just appears on the surface to be something that wasn't handled as well as it could have been. It's an uncomfortable situation when you send a $25 million two-time Stanley Cup winner to the minor leagues that you just signed. It's going to create headlines no matter what. But to do it when you did it, and to do it where it sounds like it's as rightly or wrongly as messy as it's come out in public, where the player is obviously very dissatisfied, I wonder how agents of other players, players around the league are looking at the situation here in Ottawa, and everybody talks and going, are they saying to themselves, like, what's going on in Ottawa? Look at the way they treated Matt Murray. Maybe I'd be far too soft to be a good management person in terms of a hockey team, and maybe do with a radio station. I'd be too nice. But I just think from a public perception point of view, it does not come across as difficult a decision as it was. Yeah. As well as it could have been handled.
No, I agree.
That's my only point.
No, and I'd love to give you all the information I have, JR, but I want to hold on to my job. Now, as far as Matt Murray, here's a couple of things, and this is the other part. I don't have a problem with you taking the guy and put him on a flight on a Saturday. There are times where athletes, it's like, hey, man, we've helped you as much as you can. But what is semi-comical is that when you then go into damage control, you've got a coach in the minors saying, well, we don't know what's going on with him. Then we got a coach saying we want to get him down and get him up and running. Then there's going to be a conference call with the goalie coach and the manager. Basically, you said to yourself, I'm fed up with this guy. Get out of here. Now you're regrouping in damage control and trying to pretend like you had a plan, that you were sending him to the minors to get him up and running.
And you were just mad.
Like, come on.
At the end of the day, you were just mad.
And that was the point when I got really frustrated with Dave Poulin. And I'll only use Ole Kolzig or Eddie Belfour or goalies I've been around that had some prominence in the league, JR. If we wanted to have a plan with them, we'd bring them home, send them properly, have a meeting with everybody else. I don't send his ass on a commercial flight on a Saturday with no communication, then pretend there's a plan to get him back up and running. Like, come on, man. I've been around the NHL for 20 years. That's not the way things work.
All right. So our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question, because this is certainly an interesting turn in this very down Ottawa Senator season so far. We're asking you this. Was it the right decision for the Sens to send Matt Murray to the minors? We're not asking you how they went about their business. We're asking you about the business they went about. Was it the right decision? Because I think after he spoke yesterday, there was certainly an element of a sympathetic figure that was being painted by Matt Murray. But he also said, it's in the business of winning and I ain't winning. So he ain't even admitted that much himself. So as you observe this story, our question is, was it the right decision to send Matt Murray to the minors? A simple yay or nay on this one. And, well, it's coming in pretty strong that the Senators have made the right decision. 83% of you so far, 83-17, say it was the right decision to send Matt Murray to the minors. Let us know what you think at TSN1200.ca.
Yeah, and that is the part for me, Jerry. I understand it's not a team where he's 0-6 and the other goaltenders are 6-0. You know what I mean? Hey, but when I look at the whole feel of this, the way it has been handled coming in, again, switching goaltender coaches, spending time, missing opening night, you know, it just say, I can totally understand the frustration, and I don't have any issue with him, but that felt like, and as I tried to point out to Poole, and I mentioned the last couple of days, like, it's obviously arrived at a point, because generally a guy that's won a couple of Stanley Cups, well, okay, worst case here, I don't even need to get him up and running, but what it would be good is that I'd just love him to be a great teammate for Gustafson, right?
Yeah.
He's got a lot to offer a young goaltender.
It's
like, they probably know each other, well, they know each other from Pittsburgh, right?
It says a lot to me, because I do agree to a certain, I don't know if scapegoat is the right word, but it does seem to me, whether you agree that he should be trying to command the net or not, for him to have come back, had one practice after being on the COVID list for 10 days, get thrown into a game, he's not great in the game, and then boom, you're like, okay, I'm done with that guy,
with this guy.
In the middle of a road trip on the other side of the continent. That does seem like it's more than just, it's already a huge story when you're sending, you know, your number one goalie, your $25 million to the minors, let alone how the whole thing is unfolding. I guess that's my point in this entire thing.
Yeah.
I get him going to the minors. Yeah. I just don't understand the time. And quite frankly, if it comes off as a rash decision, and I don't think that it should be a rash decision. This is a huge decision on behalf of the organization. This should be something that should be, and they'll say that it was, and maybe it was. They've been thinking about this for a long time. I look at it and I go, that doesn't seem like it is. This seems like, as you have said, seems like it was the coach and the manager, one or the other or both of them, and the goalie coach, whatever. Everybody was fed up with the guy, and get him out of here on the first flight, and we're done with it.
And you also, in any circumstance, Jr., but especially here in Ottawa, you need a huge check off from your owner. I mean, like I said, you're talking about the payroll, your third highest paid player, a player that's now under contract for another 60 games in 2 more years. Like, this is an extremely, bold move.
Mm. All right. Well, so one eye on Canadian Tire Centre tonight and one eye on Utica. Maybe the only eye you keep on Utica all season. Is Matt Murray actually going to take the net tonight for the B-Sens as they'll play the Utica? Are they the Devils now? Whatever they are. The Comets. Are they this is the farm team of Vancouver?
This
now,
is rivalry night.
Oh, there you go.
Rivalry night, right? You got
all
the big,
coming together.
You got eyes on everybody. Is DiPietro still playing for Utica?
Rick DiPietro?
Yeah.
No, he's retired. He's like working in morning.
No. The kid that played the 67s.
Oh, yes.
Mikey.
Mike DiPietro.
Mikey.
Yeah.
We're having a tough time with our Samfords and DiPietros and people today.
All right. We'll come back. We'll set up Sens and Canucks because it's got lots of storylines, too. Well, that's when we return right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Get up, Brian Wilson. 7:45. Welcome back, everybody, on the Sens game day Wednesday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. Don't forget, 7:30 is the start time tonight. If you're listening, watching, and or going to the game at Canadian Tire Center, as the Sens will take on the almost equally as hapless Vancouver Canucks. It's the Bermuda Triangle of bad teams. Ottawa, Vancouver, and Montreal. The Canucks beat the Habs on Monday in Montreal. Tonight they're here in Ottawa to take on the Sens. Vancouver 7-15-2 so far this year. Ottawa is 4-14-1, and hoping to get back on the winning side of things on a 5-game losing streak. All right, more on the game coming up, but some reaction to our Matt Murray discussion coming in on text at 12-1200. From Unsigned, this was done because the team has zero confidence in him. That's from Unsigned. Steve writes, poor Matt. If he's so upset, I'm sure the option to mutually terminate his contract should be explored. That's from Steve. From Matt, there's nothing wrong with treating someone with respect and being a good human, JR. How Dorian handled this is very poor. You're not soft. Dorian is a poor manager. From Champagne Steve, from watching Matt Murray the last couple of years, I speculate that health is to blame for the instability day to day, mental health, perhaps some physical issues as well. I'm rooting for him, hoping he can get back to decent form. From Unsigned, if Murray isn't enjoying his time in Ottawa, he can unsign his contract and get the hell out of town. What a baby. Get your you-know-what together. Sure, the team may not have handled it all that well, but the player is definitely not a good guy. You're being paid. Suck it up. Earn your paycheck. Get the help you need and be a pro. from Diego. Couldn't agree more, Simmer. Murray would be lucky to have a contract without Ottawa, let alone almost $7 million a year. Suck it up and play better. And finally, from unsigned, this the disaster that is the Sens, scapegoating Matt is typical of this minor league team. All right, some of the reaction that's coming in this morning at 1200 yeah. on the Matt Murray discussion.
Yeah, and just dealing singly with the hockey part, JR, as I said, I don't care how much I've been off as an athlete, as somebody at that pay level and not wanting to be in the minors, like I said, just another red flag. If there's something really underlying as far as not being on the ice, but gosh, to drive all the way to Utica and then sit on a bench for an American League game, I just think if that's a super motivated athlete that wants to get back to the National Hockey League, I want to be in the net as quick as possible. And even what we saw in the preseason, JR, do you remember where they held him for a little bit? Where it was, he didn't start right away. It was like, we want Matt to be comfortable and want him to get extra practice time and make sure he's feeling good. I'm like, okay. Then he plays a half a game, and then he played down the stretch. And as I say, his play this year has been better. But as an organization, you arrive at a certain point. I guess everybody has. But like I say, there are little things here that keep popping up for me that seem like a guy that is not overly motivated right now.
All right. Now, tonight's game, Vancouver in town, as mentioned, they've been really bad this year. Ottawa's on a 5-game losing streak. Hard to find really any positivity, quite frankly, with this team. DJ Smith said yesterday, November couldn't have ended soon enough. It was a bad, bad month for the team from a lot of different perspectives. But he is choosing to stay positive.
It's so easy to point the finger. It's so easy to blame people. And that, usually is what goes on. It's hard to be positive in these times. And for me, it's not. There's so many people and so many things that are worse off in the world than the situation that happens in a hockey season. You got to put things in perspective. And perspective, this is a game. We're struggling for sure with a lot of things. I'm going to tell you right now, we're in the best spot in the world. This is where every person wants to be. We couldn't have a better life than what we have. So we're not going to look back or be negative about anything. We're going to be positive about everything going forward.
All right. So there's DJ Smith. And you know what? Good on him for saying that. Yeah. I can't imagine it's very, when you're living it and wearing it like he is right now and in the organization, it can't be very easy.
No, it's not easy at all. And he has to be better, Jer. I mean, I want to see a point here where we start to see an organized hockey club. And I know the COVID and I know some injuries have not been easy, but I want to start seeing some structure, start seeing an organized group. So starts with everybody in the organization, accountability, and coach has got to be a whole lot better.
What will help is getting some of the star power back on the team. And the guy who's arguably been their best player this year overall has been Drake Batherson. Of course, we haven't seen Drake since he had a hat trick against Pittsburgh. That's the last game he played. They played Calgary the next night. That was when he was positive, then negative, and then positive again. Ended up getting held out of that Calgary game. And then after that, of course, the team had to postpone the three games later on that week. He did not make the trip to California, so he'll be back coming up tonight for the first time. Back on the top line with Tkachuk and Norris. Here's Drake Batherson on looking forward to getting back into a game.
Nice to get back. Just want to bring some energy into practice today. And super excited to see the guys and catch up with them. So, just pumped to be back playing. Obviously, everyone hates watching. So, to get back in the lineup tomorrow night and, just have some fun with the guys and bring some energy. And, the boys are starting for a win here. So, hopefully we can get that tomorrow night.
I'll take her back to the boys. I don't think really there's much argument, is there, that he and Thomas Chabot, front to back, consistently have been Ottawa's best two players this season?
Yeah, and let's not forget Zub.
Zuby?
Some fun, JR, yeah. But he's been consistent. But no, for sure. I mean, Batherson has come in, and there's expectations now that you're making the money he's making and perform very well. Chabot, other than not having a goal, has been terrific in the minutes he's logged. And, as I said, I think even Brady Tkachuk, points-wise, for missing training camp and has some COVID. But no, Batherson has been as advertised and keeps kind of going on that perfect trajectory that you kind of hope in his development program.
So we saw Tim Stützle play center for the last three games on the road trip to California, and by all accounts, and even the coach said yesterday, he was skating as well as I've ever seen him skate with the puck, etc., etc. There wasn't a goal, so he's still stuck on one goal. The team lost all its games, but there he was yesterday, at least at practice, back on the wing. Mm-hmm. So with Nick Paul and Connor Brown. So Paul was playing center, and Stützle is back on the wing, at least at practice. We'll see what happens tonight. But again, I find it a bit of a curiosity where he talks him up and on one hand and says how well he thinks he played, and then he puts him back. And again, center ice is the weakness of this team, to be sure, in part because of injury. You put the guy in there, he performs, you say, well, and then he's at least at practice not back there again.
Yeah.
It's a head-scratcher for me.
Yeah, and it's a home game as well. And
you can do the matchup.
Well, and there are spots with Paul where he takes face-offs, and D-zone coverage can act as a center.
And he took most of the face-offs when Stützle was playing center.
Yeah, and that's fine. And so, as I say, it's really can be at times. More just, hey, where you're lining up isn't necessarily what your responsibilities are. Just more of a question for most centers, JR, whether you're starting in the offensive zone or defensive zone. You know, it just gives you the ability to get moving a lot more, right? You tend to have the puck a lot more, ends up being an adjustment. And in the case of Timmy Stützle, his issue, I think, this year, when some of the struggles have been trying to do too much by himself, and unfortunately, at the end of the day, Nick Paul's ability to distribute the puck is not very good. So it doesn't really, it doesn't mix that well versus Stützle in the middle with Paul and Brown on the wings.
A couple of things. First of all, on Stützle, and the coach mentioned this yesterday, he said the biggest thing that he liked from a positive point of view was actually his play for away from the puck. Normally guy gets to play center, you got the puck a lot more, you're gunning for chances all the time, you're forgetting about the defensive side of and the importance of the defensive side of that position. And he said, DJ Smith said, that was not an issue whatsoever. And anybody who watched the three games that he played, I think would agree with me, that's the most physical that I have seen Tim Stützle play in his time in the NHL. Like, he was finishing checks hard. He was playing like a guy who was telling the coach, do not take me off of this position ever again. I'm not going to give you the opportunity to change me out of center and put me back on the wing. I'm going to show you that I can play center ice. And again, I'm watching through my TV, and there are nuances to the game that I don't know about, or I can't see through TV. I understand that part of it. But as a bigger picture thing, and even what the coach says, and I don't think he's blowing smoke, I'm not sure why, if it plays itself out the way they practiced yesterday, why Stützle is off of center.
Yeah, no, it is, and trying to balance, and you have a team now. It was mentioned at the beginning of the year they could score goals. Well, that has dried up, and they're obviously giving up too much. So you approach every game as a coach. Are you going to go on the offensive and try to create more offense, or are you going to have a fallback and try to play a little tighter as a team? And well, let's see what happens against Vancouver tonight.
Yeah. And again, we'll see. Sometimes, and I know Dean guessed yesterday, Dean Brown guessed it on In the Box and said, often how they practice is not how they end up playing. So, yeah.
Here's what I'd say, though, if that is the case. If I have a 19-year-old that I want to get ready to play center, JR, I would think in practice, which is not happening very often, I would have him at center at practice. Would you not agree?
Yes.
Like, I mean, if that is the case, that's not good. But, hey, it happens. But, hey, man, I'm trying to get a guy rep. They so seldomly practice. It shouldn't be any diversion, or Vancouver's wondering, is Tim Stützle going to play center tonight or play the wing? Hey, he should be in the middle of the ice and practice every time he gets an opportunity to get as many reps as possible.
New body in the lineup tonight will be Adam Gaudette, who will make his Sens debut. He's going to skate on line with Formanton and Sanford. He'll play center, which he said is his preferred position. He's played mainly the wing when he's been in the NHL and been kind of up and down. He's a stab in the dark. He is a guy that Pierre McGuire talked up incessantly when he was on with us daily. And I'm sure that Pierre's fingerprints are all over the decision to claim this player on waivers. We have seen other players, typically guys that are on waivers quite a bit. They kind of are what they are, 25 years old. But it's a free player.
Yeah.
It's a shot in the dark. Maybe it works. It probably won't. But anyway, we'll see him tonight wearing number 17 on your radio scorecard tonight. And we should mention, by the way, as well, Delzato. Who played in the last game. He ended up getting a goal, right? That pinball goal he ended up scoring. Anyway, he looks like he's going to end up, based on the practice yesterday, as being the scratch. And Lassie Thompson, who was scratched somewhat quizzically in the last game, will be back in the lineup playing tonight with Nick Holden. So that's the way it looks like it'll line up tonight. And again, 7:30. Note the start time. It's a 7:30 face-off tonight, a 5:30 pregame show here on TSN 1200. Okay, we'll take a break at 7:56. All right, let's see if we can give somebody $1,000 today. How's that sound? How about $1,000 on the first day of December to get you into some Christmas shopping? That sounds pretty good. We'll see if we can give it away. It's our TSN 1200 $1,000 Minute. If you'd like to play the game, 10 questions, 60 seconds. Text us right now, your first and last name. That's all we need. Texter number 50. We'll be giving you a call. You'll come on the radio machine. You'll go 10 for 10. We'll be stroking you a check for $1,000. You'll be the richest person to call a radio station this morning in Ottawa, guaranteed, if you win the 1,000. All right, we'll come back. We'll do that. Dave Pullen's coming up after 8 right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
TSN 1200's $1,000 Minute.
Let's play this game with Alex this morning. How you doing, Alex?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Oh, man. You're coming on the radio like you're ready to go. Like, you got this 1,000 already signed, sealed, and delivered.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I love it. I love the confidence. Let's see if the confidence is well-placed. So 10 questions, Alex. 60 seconds. 10 for 10 wins you the 1,000. We'll give you $10 per correct answer. Here are the rules. Need all of your answers by the 60-second buzzer. Need to accept your first answer, first full answer, and if you want to, you can pass on a question. If there's time, we'll go back to it. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right, my friend. We wish you the best of luck. We're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. How many Stanley Cups have the Vancouver Canucks won?
One.
Claude Lemieux won Stanley Cups with 3 different teams. Name one of them.
Colorado.
In what decade did baseball have its last work stoppage?
The 90s.
Who is the only hockey player with 3,000 career points, including the playoffs?
Gretzky.
Which NFL team did Michael Vick start his career with?
Atlanta.
What team did Cody Ceci play with last season?
Pittsburgh.
The Sens traded Logan Brown to St. Louis. Which player did they get back?
Pass.
There are 3 Hughes brothers. 2 of them were drafted by which team?
Vancouver.
Name the only NFL team without a win this season.
I know this one. Pass.
True or false, the Sens minor league team has never won a championship.
False.
The Sens traded Logan Brown to St. Louis. Who did they get back?
Pass.
Okay. All right. No 1,000.
Terrible.
No, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. All right. Canucks have won 0 Stanley Cups. So, no. Yeah, you answered one, unfortunately. They got to game 7 a couple of times, but they've never won one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Claude Lemieux won a cup with Avalanche, Devils, and Habs is correct as well. Baseball's last work stoppage in the 90s. Sounds like one's going to come today. Now, whether it ends up costing them games starting in April, we'll find out. Let's see. Only hockey player 3,000. Yeah, Gretzky. Michael Vick started in Atlanta. Good memory there. He got that right. Cody Ceci was last year in Pittsburgh. Correct. Logan Brown. Zach Sanford. Sanford is the name you wanted there. Yep. It's okay. I want to call him Curtis Sanford all the time, too. 3 Hughes brothers, 2 of them drafted by the Devils. The Devils have 2 of them. There you go. The only NFL team without a win is the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions. And you were correct. Sens minor league team did win a championship. It was 10 years ago, 2011. The Binghamton Senators won a championship. What do we got for our friend Alex?
$60.
60 bones, Alex. How's that sound?
Oh, that's good. That's a case of beer. I'll take it.
That's, wow, it's an expensive case of beer. That's the good stuff right there. All right, congratulations. Thanks for playing the game, and have a great day.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes. We'll try again tomorrow. The questions. I'm not blaming Alex. The questions
what?
Are not. I'm not blaming him for not winning, but the questions are.
You can completely blame him for not winning.
Okay.
He got questions wrong. You can blame him.
Okay, and I'm just saying they're not that. Like Vancouver, that's kind of well known that they haven't won a Stanley Cup, right? I mean, they're.
I think so.
Well, they got swept the first time, and then a couple of seven game series, right?
Correct. Islanders in 81 or 82 sweep, lost the Rangers in game 7 in 94, and Boston in 2011. Yeah. Too bad, so sad. Anyway, they're in town tonight. All right, 8:04, we'll take a break. Latest news and sports is on the way, and then we're going to set up tonight's game. Talk about the Matt Murray situation and all things hockey with our TSN hockey insider, Dave Poulin. That's coming up next right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.